Good morning. This morning's reading is the first 12 verses of chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew, known as the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." A reading of the word. Thank you.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O God, our Creator, our Sustainer. Amen. A couple of years ago, just a couple, my 50-year-old brother called me and he said, "Dang, you're not going to believe what happened to me. I was driving down West Liberty Avenue, no, Washington Boulevard, driving down Washington Boulevard, and I was at a red light. And I looked both ways and I made the left turn because nobody was coming. And the police pulled me over." And the officer was super nice and just said, and my brother was amazed. He said, why are you pulling me over? Do I have a taillight out or something?" He said, "No, you made a left turn at the red light." And my brother said, but I looked both ways. Nobody was coming." And the officer said, "Oh, that's, you know, that's not how this works." and he was very kind. But my brother had been driving since he was 16. And so at age 48 or so, he realized that he'd been doing that part completely all wrong. Completely all wrong. That's not how this works. You can't make a left turn at a red light. Now, most of us probably know that, you know. But has there ever been anything that you were sure, I mean, you'd been doing it all your life or for a long time, and it's been working well, and then you find out all of a sudden you've been doing it completely wrong? That happened to me very recently, because I've been interviewing people for a long time in my library career and in my early church career. And I don't like to interview people. I don't know if anybody does, but I love getting to know people. And I always start out with the same question. And I was reading the other day, because I have to prepare to interview some people, apparently the question that I ask is one of the worst questions to ever ask somebody, because it's completely ineffective, it's too broad, and supposedly if the interviewer says this to you, you know right away that the interviewer is unimaginative and just doesn't know what they're doing. But I've been doing this for years. I've been asking, starting the interview with, yeah, okay, it's hackneyed. I read all this too. But I've been asking the question, "So tell me a little bit about yourself." And I think back to one time when I asked this of a young woman named Elaine at the Bethel Park Library. And I called her up and I asked her about it. And I said, "You know, am I right when I interviewed you that you didn't like that question I started off with?" Because I remember that she had kind of this little smile on her face when I started off by saying, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? And I remember what she said. She said, well, I was born a pretty long time ago, and I don't know much about that process. How far back do you want me to go? And there was dead silence in the quiet study, and then we both burst out laughing. And I hired Elaine, and she was fabulous. And 7 years later, when I left Bethel Park, I mean, everybody knew that she was exactly the right person to lead the team then. And she's still there today, and she's doing amazing things. She cleans up after all the toddler accidents. And the thing is that I really do feel that for a job that works with people, for a job that is about relationship, that question, tell me about yourself, is important. And it is perfect. I see library work, for example, anything where you're face-to-face with strangers who then can become friends. I'm looking for somebody who's compassionate, who's patient, a good listener, open-minded. And so I ask, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I wonder, isn't that a good question for us? Because I believe that every Sunday when we come here, and we come for very different reasons, different weeks we come for different reasons, but we have a choice. Nobody makes us come here. And I bet that each one of us has one common reason for coming to church, though. We want to know more about this man named Jesus. I mean, isn't that part of why we pray and why we listen, why we pray together, why we sing, why we read scripture, why we read the words of others? We ask the Spirit to open our hearts and our minds, our innermost selves, so that we can come closer to understanding this man who really was beyond our complete comprehension, that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. Do you feel that hunger? That desire to understand who he was when he walked on earth? I wish I could sit down with him and interview him and say, Jesus, tell me a little bit about yourself. Now we know how Jesus answers questions, so I'm sure he'd be a little bit cheeky. And he would say, well, I like woodworking, I'm a carpenter. And when I was a kid, I was bad. I used to hang out at the temple when I should have gone home. And then he very well could have said, you know that book, Matthew? They did a good job of saying who I was there when you get to what you call chapter 5. Maybe you too, you've been reading the Beatitudes for many years. You might even have them up on a cross stitch in your house or on a pillow. And sometimes we've seen them as a checklist, another set of rules to follow so we can be sure we get to heaven someday. Am I meek? Am I merciful? But instead, I believe that we can see them as something else. The Beatitudes, as Jesus describing himself, embodying these words as he stood there before the crowd and delivers what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is poor in spirit, humble, dependent on God. Jesus will mourn at the death of Lazarus and in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is meek when he is accused. He does thirst on the cross. He is merciful when he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus acts purely and is pure in heart when he says, not my will, but yours. And he's a peacemaker when he tells Peter, put away that sword. When they came to arrest him, if you remember, Peter took a sword, attacked a man, his ear, and Jesus healed that ear of the one who was coming to arrest him. Jesus is persecuted and reviled by religious leaders, soldiers, governments, systems of power that couldn't tolerate who he was and what he did. This Jesus, this is who he was when he walked the earth. He flipped the power paradigm upside down. And these words of the Beatitudes, they... The blessed are the mourning, the meek, the hungry, the persecuted, the reviled. How blessed are they? Not, you mean the stoic? They're not blessed. The powerful aren't blessed. What does this mean? No, it is these people in these moments who are blessed, not because suffering is good, but because God is there. In revealing himself in this way, Jesus offers the Beatitude not as a roadmap to some heaven far away, but instead as a way of bringing heaven to us, to open up to us the blessedness of God right here and right now. And so then there's the so what. When Jesus offers us this picture of himself, a poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungry. The question that follows is, am I living up to this? No, the question that I want to ask myself is, where have I known this Jesus? When have you been poor in spirit, aware of the need, not in control, dependent on grace? When have we felt the presence, the blessing of the Christ with us when we are mourning, when we have been persecuted? And we can also ask ourselves, where might Christ be inviting us to notice that presence now? It's not going to be in the places that look impressive or powerful or put together, but it'll be in the tender places, the aching places, the places we'd rather just rush past, or when they're in us, just keep hidden. Because if we take this time and we believe that the Beatitudes can really show us Jesus saying, this is who I am, then every time you find yourself, we find ourselves mourning or hurting or thirsty or weak, or we dare to stand up with others and stand alongside who are. Those are the moments when we are closer to the Christ than we can imagine.